Good morning. Our Hebrew Bible lesson for the day is found in Genesis 21, verses 8 to 21. In the Pew Bible, it's page 16. In the large print, it's page 20. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman, whatever Sarah says to you. Do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, if you'll turn in your hymn books to page 749, we will read responsively Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. Concerning what others do, I have avoided the ways of the violent by following your word. My steps have fell fast to your path. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries, if at your right hand. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with beholding your presence.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1b through 11. Can be found in your pew Bible on page 146 and on the large print Bible on page 189 both of the New Testament. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39, found on page 10 in your New Testament. And in a large print Bible, it starts on page 12. And thank you for standing. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more would they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be made uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valued than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledged me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I hope you all had breakfast this morning, because it's going to be long. Only joking. Hopefully I'm short and sweet, concise, and to the point. So, the gospel lesson today tells us about harassment, fear, confessing Christ, and trouble in the family. A hard reading. Ending with, those who find their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives because of me, Christ, will find them. Paul's epistle to the Romans tells us that our life, our new life in Christ, starts when we die to sin. Jesus died once and for all, and he lives now and forever. So like Jesus, those who have died once in relationship to sin in baptism are permanently dead to sin as their master and permanently alive for God. Jesus is trying to get us to understand a key dynamic principle. When we give up our tight grasp on our own life, we discover life as it was meant to be. We must begin to abandon and give up our whole existence to God. To have the strong conviction that the events of every moment result from His immediate will and permission and are just what our present condition requires. This conviction will make us content with everything and cause us to regard all that happens from God's perspective. Simple, yes? Easy, no. Is it not easy because our sins are often as dear to us like children? We love them, hug them, cleave to them, and delight in them. To part with them is as hard as cutting off a hand or plucking out an eye. Yet, no sin, no matter how momentarily pleasurable, comforting, or habitual, is worth missing what God has for us. Paul sees sin and grace, each as powerful masters. Life without Christ is slavery to sin. Life in Christ is slavery to God and righteousness. God's desire for humans is that they experience the fullness of life intended for them, both now and forever. This life consists of sharing God's character, righteousness, and God's glory, eternal splendor. But the power of sin in the world and the reality of human evil have created a culture of death. Rather than life, that death is both present and future. In Christ's death and resurrection, God has defeated both sin and death. The resurrection creates a new reality of life that, like death, is both present and future. Believers are already raised to a new life in the present, a life that is lived to and for God. They will also be raised to eternal life in the future as part of the renewal of the entire creation. For this reason, all present human activity in the body should reflect God's will. Individually and together, believers offer every aspect of their lives to God as a holy act of daily worship. How do we do this? Well, I'm glad you asked. We do this by daily devotion, with prayer, reflect on Scripture and respond by being in small groups of believers, testing each other, sharing life struggles with each other, seeking God's will and purpose. You hear a lot from the pulpit, come, join a small group. If I had not joined small groups in this church, I would not be here in the pulpit today. I will be here punching my ticket every Sunday morning and then going about my own way, not God's way. Please, we implore you, we beseech you, everybody, my prayer is everybody is in some sort of small group in this body of Christ. So when harassment falls upon us because we believe, there will be no fear. When we confess Christ to people, there will be no fear. When our belief causes trouble in the family, there will be no fear. For when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the save of the earth should gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us tell all of His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. Amen.